who don't know what I'm talking about, nobody, right? Sometimes we do that. And I think it's good to read something from the Genesis to Noah's part. I'm looking for it. So small. Let me read to you some of the words from God. You can close your eyes as you hear them. As God told Noah, I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your son's wife with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Let me read again. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your son's wife with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So have a minute of time to think about what you have heard. Let's open your eyes when you're ready. Who totally gone blank after I said, like, give you a minute to think about what you have heard? That's good. Because a lot of the time that when we are, like, in the morning, that we are relatively sleepy or not haven't got enough sleep, the night before, we've thought we hear something, but we don't actually. Who actually hears something from the scripture? who hear something, who think of things that related to the scripture. Who think the Spirit is speaking to you through that thing. This is just a brief 3-4 minutes. As I read through the scripture, I didn't choose it in advance. I was, as I said, 2 weeks ago, I was quite insensitive to the Holy Spirit, like these days, because I was tired. I should have done that yesterday, but I only get to do this, thought about what our response are as the people of God this morning. And this passage, and you see that I flip to the passage as I walk onto the stage. Sometimes we are quite slow, we are quite insensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. But as I read through the scripture, there's quite a few things that come to my mind. I encourage you to share with each other after the service, if you still remember that. If it's important, you will remember that. If not, then I can encourage you to go back home and read it again. That is from Genesis 6, verse 17. You can read from chapter 6, the whole chapter. And you know what happened before God flooded the land. God has promised us He won't do it again. So I'm not saying that because of the flood happened in Auckland around this time is a sign. I'm not telling you that. More important in the scripture, that one word stand out to me is God has made a promise with us. He has a covenant with us that we are His people. So I'm pretty sure if your house is totally flooded, you won't be here in the hall this morning. Maybe you are at home online. Please let us know, if that case. But even if that happened, you should not be in fear. Because we should be like Noah. So get back to what I should speak on today. As from Galatians, I'll read through that. But the monthly verse, do you remember the monthly verse? Anyone? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We are going to talk about that today. This is the passage before that. Paul said, "You, my brother and sister, we are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The act of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." So that's the passage related to our monthly verse. Before getting into that, I'm going to share with you a little bit about what we done During the past 2 weeks, our family went away for 2 weeks, and the first week we spent in the bad weather and the mountain. That's in Tongariro. That's the first part of Tongariro. Who have done Tongariro crossing before? Many of you. We have done 1 hour of that, around that time. So it took us 3 hours to go there and back with the kids. So we'll plan to do that, so we give them a taste, and they find it okay. it's pretty hard for them. When they're running, they're fine. When they lose motivation, when you don't know what you're expecting, sort of. When they walk there, and sometimes they get tired, right? But when I take photo like that, they're happy. The second week of the camping trip, we went to Rotorua. And due to the weather, we waited until the third day. So basically, because our campsite and the city center, the mount that loose the gondola is in between our campsite and the city center. So basically, we went across the road and seen the gondola many times before we actually went up there. So and my sons like cars a lot, so the expectation is really high, and they want to get onto Luge. And perhaps for Josiah especially, because he's old enough to ride on the Luge alone this year. So that's not him, but I just took a photo. We haven't took a lot of photo, this is from the web. We started to, race down the track in no time. And however, when Josiah arrived at the finishing point, the first run, as the last one to come back, and he seems to be quite tired. He's not enjoying. He said he was tired because he need to pull the handle, quite a bit. It's quite hard. I thought about that because he's smaller. So he for us it's easy, but for him it's like all the time he need to put a lot of effort on it. So on the second round, I waited for him and rode next to him in another luge. He went a bit and then he stopped often, and then when I turned back and I see what happened. Sometimes it's luge, like hit the side of the track, and typical Chinese parents, I said, no, you shouldn't do that. You should, stay in the middle of the track. Don't use your arm to pull, you use your body. And I tell him all the techniques, and then I say, why are you not doing that? How come? I started getting mad. Because my youngest son is with me, in tandem. So, that's why I cannot actually get out of my luge to help him. Just keep using my mouth. Maybe that's just an excuse. I was just using my mouth to help him. I didn't realize that because of his body size, he naturally couldn't do it as easy as us. Seeing his frustration, in the third round, I went tandem with him, sitting at his back. Now he's free. Most of the time, I act as a cushion at the back so he can reach. So he actually got a smaller luge, because I'm the cushion. And then he pulled the handle a lot easier. And at some sharp turns, I turn with him, I lean on one side with him, so we lean together, and he experienced new stuff because it's a lot faster than he could do. His smile came back to his face. He enjoyed a lot more. He rode really well with this daddy and son tandem. He actually knew how to ride the luge, but he couldn't do it on his own. How do we ride our lives? We knew many of the commandments in the Bible. We learn about how to live like Jesus. You know about that. From time to time we couldn't, but we couldn't do that. We felt tired. We didn't live up to the potential that God expected us to do. Our new transformed, resurrected life. Because we thought that we could ride on our own. We forgot to ride in tandem with the Spirit. How's the ride today? How's your time with the Spirit today? Every Sunday you came here and you're being encouraged to do more. And then when you go back to your week, your work, your study, your family, all the things that in your life, suddenly you forgot about that. Have you spent time with God? I hope you have, at least a little bit. You have started to listen to the Spirit a little bit more. More often. Some of you have got the book of Tozer, right? not all of you, because we only got like 18 who have actually started on the book of Tosa, some of you. That's great. Hopefully more books will be coming. If you really want that, I mean, you better get, I mean, we want it in the coming week, you better get on Kindle, because it's, I don't see the bookshop contacting me about the arrival soon, especially the condition now. But I mean, that book will tell you more about the Spirit. I mean, if you just read through it. But in order to know the Spirit, not just know about the Spirit, you need to ride in tandem with the Spirit in your life, not just in your quiet time. Our monthly verse, as we've said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We can only live our new life with the Spirit. But the question is, why can't we do it on our own? We have been doing it on our own for a long time, and we like to do that. Why couldn't we? Let's read the verses before that. We've read that part. It said, you, my brother and sister, you were called to be free. We are called to be free. Just like the Israelites called out of Egypt to be God's free people. It should be a joyful, a happy journey. But we didn't know the way of God. Just like the Israelites, they didn't know the way of God. We didn't know what is right or wrong. So God taught us His way. He gave us commandments. His law shows us a track. That's the track. His law gives us boundary of the track. Obeying the law keeps us from sin. But obeying the law isn't easy. Have you sinned in the past week? Have you not intentionally. Have you do anything against the law of God in the past week? Or in the past month, in the past year? The year just started, right? From the time in the wilderness until in Jesus' time, the Jews, people tried their best, but they fell being enslaved by the law. Is the way of Jesus the same? Are we free from the slavery of sin just into the slavery of law? The answer is no, you know that. No. We are called to be free slavery of the gospel. The gospel is the real way to obey the law. But what does that mean? The law is the boundaries. And we always test the boundary. Our worldly freedom tells us to do whatever we want. We felt trapped when we hit the side of the track. We go near the track. And then sometime we hit the track. And sometime when there's no track, we go on to the grass. We range the wilderness, and then sometime we trap there. Sometime we don't, we go back. A lot of the time we became the slave of sin again. So we should ride in the freedom of the gospel. What about becoming this free slave of the gospel? How is that like? We no longer look at the boundary. We look ahead in the path of love. You remember the scripture said, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We look ahead in the path of love. This is how you drive, right? You drive by looking at the side mirror and then measuring that instead of looking at the road, and you'll be in trouble. And Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. Because the flesh desire was contrary to the Spirit was contrary to the flesh. There's two different things. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But think about why we still crash onto the side of this track after we believe in Jesus and His gospel. And if not crashing to the side, we struggle from time to time as we go down, just like my son Josiah. and stop and stumble. It's because of the flesh. The flesh decides what's contrary to the spirit. They conflict with each other. That's why when you try your best to follow the law, even if you're able to put the desire of the flesh to death, it's painful, it's difficult, you find it difficult. From time to time, your eyes see the flesh, and it's not very attractive that side, but somehow you go there. We want to do the right thing, but we cannot. Don't get me wrong, the law itself is good and holy. It is given by God. I think sometimes we struggle because of that. The law is good. The side curb is good. The side is a boundary. But what it does, as Paul said clearly in Galatians 3:22, he said, the scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin. It's lock everything up in the sin. And when you look at that, if you don't like to go to jail, that's not where you want to go. Because that locked you up. That's why Paul said, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You don't go to that side. We are not under the law. We are under grace. The law is not for you. The law is not for you. The observance of days, the Sabbath, the food law. I mean, you don't obey it anyway. Have you eat pork in the past month? Yeah. Circumcision, right? It's no longer the requirement to be God's people. It's sufficient to have the Spirit alone. I mean, for those people at that time in Galatia, for this, the recipient of this letter, they are struggling in these things. They're thinking whether they should follow the Jews to observe all those law. At this time, we know that we don't. But there are other laws. I don't need to spell it out, but there's a lot of laws that we impose on ourselves, and we think as we keep those, then we are fine. We are within the track. But we need to know that it's sufficient to have the Spirit alone. The Spirit is sufficient to do what the law is not able to do. We're not just like looking at avoiding the side of the track, the boundary of the law. Because focusing on the law will only bring us back under the law. They will only bring us back under condemnation. Led by the Spirit, we are no longer subject to the rule of sin or death. We have left the flesh, the sinful stage of human behind. That's outside the boundary. Leading by the Spirit, that's how we can receive the acts of the flesh that's written in verse 19 to 21 that I have read that before. All those, I mean, each one of them, if you reflect on that, you may have done some of that in the past. Especially in the church at that time, those are the problem. The act of the flesh is not limited to that list, but those are the things that the church at that time do. We may have another list if Paul write to us. It is so important to avoid the acts of the flesh, but do you look at them? No, you don't do that. So, I mean, it's important because certainly Paul warned us, because if you do those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You won't be able to go into the kingdom of God. But how do we do that? How do we resist those acts? Paul said, walk by the Spirit. The only way to avoid doing what the flesh wants you to do is to do what the Spirit wants you to do. That's why it's important to listen to the Spirit. If you remember in Psalms 1, the first verse, it said, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stay in the way in the sin like, or sit in the company of mockers. So where you walk is where you practice your morale living. There seems to be some choices. Is it a choice? We have seen the acts of the flesh, and we have... Paul also talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can remember those. The fruit of spirit. Which one do we choose? If you have two group of people, two group of friends, one group always doing the act of the flesh, one group always doing the act in the fruit with the fruit of spirit, which group of friends will you go? For sure, I mean, you will go to. I'm not sure who will go to the group of friends who always act like in the flesh. Who will do that? None of you. I mean, if you choose. But in the reality, you go there. So it's not about choice. And if we want to resist that, it's not about choice. Because to rely on your own choices, that is very difficult. And we fail from one time to the other time. Just look at the Israelites. That's why Paul didn't say, he didn't say, so I say, you need to choose carefully. He didn't say that. He said, so I say, walk by the Spirit. It's not even like we need to, like, every day we practice to be kind and gentle and love people. I mean, we should do that, but the practice itself won't bring us there. Because in that case, if you look at, like, how to choose from this and that, you are back to looking at the law. You're looking at the boundary again. We have said that, like, if you drive, you look at the boundary, you're in trouble. So we need to follow the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who gives you new life. So how can He not be your guide, your director? Who said those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with His passions and desires? We need to know that the crucifixion of flesh is a done deal. Jesus has done that. Those who have been baptized now belong to Christ. You don't need to look at the flesh anymore. I didn't even put the law on the line again anymore. Our flesh has been crucified along with its passions and desires. I mean, not saying this flesh, you know, like when Paul talks about flesh, it's the sinful state of human. Let's put it behind us. It's a one-off and done deal. But how come it's not like that in our life? Is it we have, like, we haven't been baptized? No. That is a done deal. But a lot of the time we went single in the lurch. We do it in our own way. We want to do it in our freedom. We thought we can do it without the tandem with the Spirit. So the one-off and done baptism need to be implemented in our lives. Martin Luther, he described Christian life as a daily baptism. A daily baptism. It requires daily resolution and action. It's not that you have been baptized and you are saying forever. It's a daily baptism. Just like writing. I mean, you write in a loop, you need to adjust every moment. You cannot fall asleep if you fall asleep for 3 seconds and you are at the side of the track. And would you rely on yourself to steer the wheel, to ride the luge? I suggest you don't. There's no other way. You need to be in tandem with the Spirit. And then you can race down the track and enjoy the journey. As you ride together with the Spirit, you do the same as Jesus did. And you experience the same as Jesus did. As you ride together with the Spirit, you do more than you can. You can make a faster turn. You can stay within the track because the Spirit leans to one side with you and the other side. You race down faster because of the power of the Spirit. As you ride together with the Spirit, you have peace because you know. That's why Josiah is smiling. He didn't need to worry anymore because I will be there. The Spirit will be there. If you're tired, He will be there because God is with you, within you. So let's recite our monthly verse to remind us again, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we have chosen to believe in Christ Jesus, we have been given a new life, by the Spirit. The Spirit must be our guide so that we can keep in step with Him. There's no other way. I'm just saying again, there's no other way. You need to be in tandem with the Spirit. And don't think that it's only for kids and only for new believers. No. Have you seen that in Olympic? May the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for being with us. You know that that is the only way that we can race down the track in your way. Lord, help us to rely on the Spirit solely. Lord, please help us. In your name we pray. Amen.